Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Idly hey! Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished!
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
It's another special edition of the Brett Allen Show. Thanks for watching and listening. And today is exciting. We are talking NBC Chicago Med. We've had a lot of PD cast. We've had a lot of fire cast. This is our very first Med cast, hopefully the first of many. And we are talking with acting veteran legend Steven Weber about Chicago Med. Steven Seven plays Dr. Dean Archer, but he's done a lot of other amazing projects. Steve, thanks for hanging out with us today. I appreciate it.
A pleasure. I'm glad to be the first of what I hope is going to be years of Chicago Med interviews for you.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, just as a side note, we had your pal on just recently, who is in the HBO series, The Laker Show. His name is Spencer.
Spencer Garrett.
Yes. So he says hi. It was funny because we were talking after the conversation. It's like, hey, have you ever had so and so on? I'm like, yeah, we're working on it right now. So here we are.
Spencer's a great guy, and he's like an old fashioned character actor, the kind that I always, you know, we all aspire to be. He and in fact, in the HBO show, he's playing, you know, Chick Hearn.
Yeah,
makeup. He's this changeling of an actor. He's really a great guy.
Yes.
He really is.
He embodies it very well. Well, this is awesome. Again, as I mentioned, you play Dr. Dean Archer, and Chicago Med is in its seventh season, which is, this show has been on for a very long time. Let's talk about your entrance into the show, because you showed up, and I think a lot of fans were excited because, like a lot of these shows, they always like to shake things up when you don't expect it. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your character, because it's been interesting watching this unfold sort of the genesis of how this all came about.
When I was first approached and with the possibility of playing this guy, it was clear that he had a history that I was somewhat connected to personally and very interested in playing. He was a Navy veteran, he's a surgeon who suffered from PTSD. And the reason why I'm connected to it is because I work with this wonderful organization called New Directions for Veterans, and they help vets get back on their feet after, you know, after years of serving our country. And also my dad had PTSD. He was a Korean War veteran, and I realized many years later, in fact, after I started working with the organization, that he had all the characteristics of somebody who was terribly traumatized by his wartime experience. Dr. Dean Archer is similar to him in many ways. He lots of anger issues, lots of deep-seated trauma that Chicago Med actually explored in the earlier, last year, last season, and in many ways, to address your question about how he's evolved, I think they've backed off a little bit from showing that, and that's fine, you know, because he's a guy that's able to work and live and in this at Gaffney and in the hospital area. He's incredibly adept and good at what he does, but he still has issues. He's not very sociable. He's occasionally
no.
He's very brusque. And, you know, I guess there's room for a character like this in that world. And in fact, when I've spoken to people who are medical professionals, they actually say that he's actually closer to what the norm is in that landscape than the incredibly beautiful, handsome, altruistic people who are all kind of gorgeous and perfect and lovely and compelling, as they are written on the show. The reality is that they're human beings and they get ticked off and they are not always pleasant to be around. And he kind of embodies that. I think he's been a real asset for the show because of that very reason. You know, he gives the other characters something to bump against.
Yes, I would say that to be very true because, you know, we've, again, as you mentioned, seen so many different layers of him so far. And to be honest, like one of the most difficult characters, at least for me, to kind of figure out where he lands, because we find ourselves rooting for him on a lot of different levels because of what that area needs and what the experience that he brings. But then it's kind of like, where is he going? So I love that thumbnail sketch of the character because it helps me understand a little bit kind of where he's coming from. And yeah, I do remember them exploring that last season. That was intense. And you had like what seemed to be a breakthrough moment with your character. Yeah. And now the dust has settled a little bit and he's just running things on a normal day-to-day operation from what we can see so far.
Yeah. I mean, he's the type of guy that is really good at his job and he actually does care about people and his patients, but he also has a habit of stepping in it, stepping in some, you know, manure. And last year they had him doing a couple of unsavory things, you know, pulling out the random liver and, you know, doping people, you know, stuff like that.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it almost seems like a dream because the character has evolved in a way. I like to think almost the way, and I'm in no way comparing myself to him or the show or the character in any way, but the young Spock, if you look at the original series, Star Trek, the original series, which I'm a huge nerd about, you know, Spock in the early days was very big. Occasionally he'd smile. He was loud. And it took him a while and the writers a while to kind of get this character where in his sweet spot. And I feel like hopefully that's where they're bringing Dean Archer. You know, he's a guy who's got a lot of issues, as most human beings do. And he's not always charming. In fact, he's ever charming. And that's the way it goes with this guy. And there's, you know, these folks are out there. And it's good that they show him.
We love him. He's just a lot of fun to watch.
We love him. I don't think, you know, I made the mistake of reading some board where...
oh, no. Here we go. You know,
and people hate this goddamn guy. They hate him.
And, yeah.
That's all right.
That's okay. Well, you know, not every character has to be beloved. But right. I think, you know, he balances everything else that's happening on the show.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what matters with this character. And a lot of the other characters that you've played is kind of get a good mix of things. And, you know, I think we're all kind of waiting to see sort of what happens between him and Ethan and sort of how that's all going to play out. You know, no spoilers, but really where that's going to wind up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun. And again, the show has just been met with such success along with all these others. And I'm excited. This week's episode, I haven't seen yet. So I'm excited to kind of check it out and see where we land with everything that's happening from last week.
It's a killer. It's
yeah.
A good one.
Yeah. I'm excited. Well, you've just been a part of a lot of so many things and we'll talk about some of your earlier projects, but I'm curious, you know, because you got quite an early start with your career. You did theater and then a few pictures. And then, of course, Wings came about, which that ran for 7 seasons as well. But when were you bitten by the acting bug and knew that you wanted to be a storyteller?
Well, I was bitten by the acting bug when I was a really young person, probably in the third grade and fourth grade. I didn't consider myself a storyteller. I was just getting waves of affirmation from an audience who were responding to me, invariably when I ad-libbed or made a joke and so forth on stage. And so from that moment on, I guess I was addicted to it. I began to take it more seriously in high school. I went to the High School of Performing Arts in New York City. And then after that, I went to a great theater school called Purchase in Purchase, New York, where there was a lot of great actors from Edie Falco to Ving Rhames to Stanley Tucci to, you know, great filmmakers, great actors, a lot of actors come out of that school, and started doing theater from there. So I really got bit by the bug young. I watched a lot of television, a lot of old movies, and just fell in love with the whole idea of possibly doing this professionally. I mean, I didn't have any big goals about being a star or any of that stuff. I just love the idea of maybe being a character actor, like we were talking about earlier about Spencer Garrett, you know, that type
yeah.
of actor, and who goes from job to job. I loved the kind of brick and mortar aspect of it. I like the idea of the kind of the journeyman actor, believe
yeah.
it, you know, and that's what most intrigued me. And I was very lucky. I was able to land jobs early.
Yeah, we had Steve Guttenberg on last week, and he said something very similar in the fact of, you know, he just really loves the nuts and bolts of the business.
Yeah.
Showing up to set, you know, bringing those positive vibrations. And really, when he's on a set, he's at his best, and he hopes that that influences people around him to be at their best and to just really, you know, you're there to work. And he considers himself a character actor, even though he's yeah. had different roles here and there. I think both of you were on Ballers on HBO
that's
at one
right.
point.
Yeah.
So and that's great. So you did some films. You did Flamingo Kid.
Yeah.
And then, of course, As the World Turns, Hamburger Hill. And then you yeah. went on to Broadway. Was Wings where things really, like, no pun intended, kind of took off for you, so to speak, and really kind of put you on the map as far as what you were doing? Or was it other things that led to that?
I mean, obviously it was the kind of biggest show project that I'd been involved with. It garnered the most attention and most publicity. It was firmly nestled in the, you know, the NBC bosom in a way, you know,
yeah.
in the 90s. And when they had firm control of the of people's viewing habits back then, with
yes.
shows like Cheers and Friends and Seinfeld and ER and, you know, dozens of shows that people made appointments to watch. Wings being one of them. I think it was a real utility show, I call it Wings, because it wasn't as sexy, it wasn't as edgy, but it was a crowd favorite, and it still remains well-liked today. So yeah, being part of the network machine, especially in those days, I got a huge boost professionally, but I still consider myself a kind of a character actor, you know, and pursued that path almost, not in spite of, but along with all the kind of very shiny, glitzy network promotion that that one always had at that time.
Yeah, it was a great show. In fact, when this whole thing started, the pandemic 2 years ago, I think I was looking for things to binge, and I actually went through all 7 seasons because it was such a good show, you know, watching it and things like that. And I was just looking at the cast of that show, Tony Shalhoub, Thomas Hayden Church, Tim Daly. There's a lot of people in that show that were just kind of, you know, I don't know if they were at the start of their career necessarily, but really were getting that public recognition, you know, as far as being on network television.
No, they weren't at the start of their career, but they were obviously in early chapters of it. You know, Tim had already made Diner.
Tony, yeah, I forgot about that.
Was making films, and he was absolutely garnering a great reputation. And as a go-to brilliant character actor. I think, you know, he'd made a couple of films where he'd gotten a lot of notice. And Tom Church was, I mean, pretty much at the start of his career. But he had already started people talking about him because he actually got the job, I think, on Wings because he made this great cameo on Cheers.
Yes.
So yeah, we were at early stages. I think it's safe to say that even if none of us had gotten Wings, that we would have found we were on an upwards trajectory, and we were doing a lot of stuff I'd been doing. I was starting to do some, like you say, films and some TV appearances. But yeah, Wings was really the place where we all landed and got a lot out of it. I mean, we all learned a lot, and we made some good money and got a lot of experience, and people met us as actors and as characters.
Yes. Oh yeah. Great times. And again, that period of television, you mentioned making appointments. My parents would set the VCR for those watching and listening who don't know what that is. It's like a DVR, but it's in the cloud.
DVR? What are you talking about, old man? Old guy? Yeah.
I know. 47.
You're almost dead.
Yeah, I know. I feel that way. Well, I have a 7-year-old who's about to show up here in about 20 minutes. So, great. And I know you're very busy. You just got off a plane. But one last question. I know you're a father as well. Do your children show any interest in what you do, or are they just kind of like dad on TV, or do they get it? I mean, kind of where do they land with it all? There's another Wings pun, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Okay, stop it. They're outwardly unimpressed, and that's absolutely fine. I think they're amused, and I think they are possibly a little proud that I have managed to make a living in an industry where that's very hard to do. I think they're amused. They're amused when somebody recognizes me. They're shocked when somebody in their demographic recognizes me, because I did a show called 13 Reasons Why, which is basically their demographic. And sometimes they get approached by people. Hey, I saw your dad on that. That's a terrible imitation. Hey, I saw your dad on TV. And they own it. They're not ashamed of it, but they never celebrate me to my face. They put down the old man. It's all right. I understand.
I love it. That's great. Well, again, folks, we've been chatting with actor Steven Weber, who was a part of Chicago Med. He plays Dr. Dean Archer, and it airs on Wednesdays on NBC. If you haven't watched it, please catch up. Streaming, it's free. I think it might even be on Netflix, maybe not, or Hulu, one of these streamers. But and if you're really looking for fun, be sure to check out all the other great work. And Wings was a great show in the golden age of just fun network comedy. Steven, thanks for your time today. I appreciate
it. Pleasure. Thank you very much.
That brings today's show to a close.
Goodly do.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.